Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Random. It is the middle of May, almost exactly the middle of May. I'm Kevin.
I'm Lau.
And we are talking about performance-enhancing drugs. At least that's where the conversation is going to start.
Some PEDs.
It can go elsewhere. Actually, unfortunately, we were talking about immigration for the last half hour just on the phone. I probably should hit record on that, but
we probably should have. Yeah, it was a good conversation.
It was. Lyle and I are mostly opposed on that, but we'll get to that at some other time. We're going to do research and stuff, and then we're going to argue.
And you'll lose.
Not so much.
No, you will.
It's just a matter of opinion. Dude, we're not about winning and losing. We're just talking about the conversation.
No, I'm
it's
about
all about the
losing.
Conversation.
Yeah. It's all about you losing and me looking awesome.
Well, no, you're not going to argue me probably. Because your standpoint is dumb and stupid. Okay, anyway, let's talk about PEDs. I just said that before you did. So we want to talk about.
I think we'll probably agree on this.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I think we'll probably agree on this a little bit, but
what,
I want
you're
hear
dumb
where
and stupid.
Start. No, the other part.
Oh, the PEDs. PED part.
Yeah, what we're actually talking about.
Got
I mean,
you.
We can agree that I am dumb and stupid, but I'm smarter than you are. So what does that make you?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about
ba-dump,
that.
Ba-dump-bump.
Oh, anyway. So performance-enhancing drugs, this is a tough topic because there's been a lot of conversation about it throughout the years. I mean, performance-enhancing drugs have been in sports since the time of the Greek Olympians. They didn't have a test for it, actually. So
was it a rule? It wasn't a rule.
It wasn't a rule. What do you mean it wasn't a rule?
Like they weren't not allowed to take whatever they wanted.
No, I mean, they did use performance-enhancing drugs, though.
Sure, but if there's not a law against, so this is what we're going to get into, right? If there's not a rule against it, is it a PED? Because there are PEDs that there are no rules against. So let's get into it a little bit, and I'll elaborate on the topic.
Right, so if you want to talk about the ancient Greeks, the word actually doping is attributed to the Dutch word dupe, which is a viscous opium juice, which was the drug of choice of the ancient Greeks. Go figure.
Yeah, it was.
So
they
They computed for huge cash prizes and olive wreaths, which is, what you see people wearing around their heads. So it's been around forever. People are going to try to get any edge that they can get. And throughout history, these things were used. Only, I think, when was it that the Olympic Committee first said performance-enhancing drugs? 1967.
Yeah, the 1960s, I was going to say.
The IOC established the Medical Commission to Fight Doping.
Yeah.
And that was partly in reaction to a guy named Tommy Simpson. He died. He was a cyclist on amphetamines. He died during the Tour de France.
Wow.
A British dude died because of doping. Yeah, so... later that year, the IOC said, we have to get a handle on this. And boy, have they.
Yeah.
Insert
they were really good
laugh.
At detecting stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go ahead.
But just 1 year later, the first horse was disqualified from the Kentucky Derby for banned substances. So it's not just humans. It's horses.
Well, it never has been. Whenever there's money involved, again, it goes back to the last random we did about drugs, right? Whenever there's money involved... Right, people are going to look for every edge that they can get.
Sure,
right? They're not going to. They won't hesitate. And again, to those people's credit, it's a little messed up with the horse, right? Because the horse can't consent. But there were no rules against it, so were they doing something wrong? There's no rule.
Well, no, it's ethically maybe questionable because you're using a substance, but it's not illegal, and it's not. I mean,
is it ethically questionable? At that point, though?
I guess it would depend. You can say, I inject this into my body and it makes me stronger and it gives me an edge. I'm quote-unquote cheating, but if there's no law or rule
against it, are you
cheating?
So you use the word cheating, and that's a really interesting word because that means that you're circumventing the rules, which in that case, at least, back then... There were no rules.
Right.
So would taking vitamins have been cheating? Would good nutrition have been cheating?
No. Well, because there's no rule against vitamins, and you know, and before there were rules, obviously it wasn't cheating.
Right. So that's where the area gets super gray. And this is what I really want to discuss, right? Is when does it become quote unquote cheating? When are you getting an edge? And I think in certain sports, it matters more than others. And we can get into that a little bit, but just like a preview, like bike racing. Okay. You guys are headed down a path. You're trying to run or ride really fast. All right.
So obviously stronger leg muscles are going to assist you.
Sure. But your goal is speed. Now, if you move that over to a combat sport or the NFL, where you could do physical harm to another human being, then it becomes a different story, right? Because your quote-unquote enhancements or whatever you want to call it, cheating, can physically affect another human being and their career and their life.
Sure, any contact or collision sport, it takes on a different level of
right,
risk.
Right, especially like in like MMA or boxing. Right, I think that's a big deal. Muay Thai, kickboxing, like all that, like, you know, super physical fighting sports. It becomes a different animal than some guy hitting baseballs. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, you know, obviously when you can knock baseballs over a wall at a greater pace than anybody else because of your steroid use, you know, it's cheating, but it's not. You're not endangering someone's life except for maybe somebody sitting in the upper deck.
Best day ever for a fan.
Right. See this dent in my skull? Barry Bonds hit this dinger. Of course, now I have to eat all my meals with a spoon, but...
Right, a straw.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're right. But that's really what I think the conversation is about, because I don't know if you were done with the history. You can continue with that.
I'm just trying to hit the high points. Like, you know, it took the IOC
go for it.
From 67 to 75 to actually add anabolic steroids to the banned substance list. And it took that long because it took them that long to develop a test that was considered reliable.
That's scary.
Yeah, it kind of is. A year later in the 76 Olympics, the steroid testing was conducted for the first time during the Montreal Games.
Wow. That was 76, you said?
That was for the 76 Olympics, yeah.
Wow.
So in 1983, surprise drug testing at the Pan Am Games led a lot of athletes to withdraw from the competition as opposed to getting kicked out.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me.
And you may remember, well, you probably won't remember, but I don't know, you were early
Ben teens, Johnson? Maybe.
Ben Johnson stripped his gold medal for his positive drug test.
I'm not going to not remember Ben Johnson. Yeah, it was a big deal.
It was huge. I mean, you know, because he was. You
know. Well, he admitted to, if I'm not mistaken, Kevin, he admitted to taking steroids prior to that during his world record run of the 100 meter, I think. I think it was. I could be wrong. And people out there, if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I think prior to that, he ran a world record run of the 100 meter and then admitted to have used steroids prior to that, and whatever commission runs, you know, the record keeping for the 100 meter pulled his record.
Yeah, that may be true. I'm seeing here that during the Olympics, he basically claimed that his herbal drink was spiked, but officials declined his explanation and suspended him from competition for 2 years, and then basically banned him for life. After a second positive test 5 years later.
So
maybe after that, he you know, admitted to use.
So in 88, of course, the Canadian, how about that? He won the 100-meter final.
The Hunter.
In Hunter with 9.97 seconds, beating his own world record. Johnson would later, this is off Wikipedia, so who knows. Johnson would later remark that he would have been even faster had he not raised his hands. However, yes, he was disqualified 3 days later. He later admitted to using steroids when he ran his 1987 world record, which caused the IAAF to rescind that record as well. So, yeah. So both of those records were were taken down. I saw a thing on ESPN. I think it was called 9.8 or something like that. It was whatever time he ran. Maybe it was 9.79, according to that his run in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
That detailed all this stuff. It's really fascinating, man, because you have a guy who achieves the top of the top. And let's be clear. Okay, yes, Ben Johnson was cheating at the time. But right. Do not mistake him for a regular human being. Like, he was probably the fastest man on the planet. Like, you know.
Right, just, yeah, he was.
There might have been a dude in, you know, Somalia or East Asia or Antarctica that was faster, but nobody knew that person. And Ben Johnson was super fast.
Right.
You know, so please don't mistake that for him not being an elite level athlete.
Is that all right? Hyphenated, by the way, the leets?
It was, and it was leets, not elite. So it's just leet. After the first elite, it's just leet. So, like, Carl Lewis was fast, and I would love to see them go head-to-head, like, in their prime without, you know, steroids and stuff. But at the same time, this is where it gets weird, dude. This is where it gets funky. This is where the Lance Armstrong argument comes into play, and we'll talk about that too. Carl Lewis was certainly taking substances to make himself better. They might not have been illegal, but he was ingesting things. Right?
Right. There's always some new
100%.
Supplement. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
100% he was doing that. There's no question. So that's where it gets really weird. And I don't know if you guys seen Ben Johnson, but he didn't look like a sprinter, man. He looked like a linebacker.
He was kind of
jacked.
Yeah, he looked like a guy who was going to compete in the decathlon, not just a sprinter.
He looked like an NFL linebacker or a running back at least. Yeah, yeah, he was kind of jacked. Whereas Carl Lewis was kind of a little thin, more prototypical runner. So it was kind of cool. But yeah, man, I remember that in detail. And yeah, it's really upsetting. But there have been a lot of cases, especially in the Olympics, of people doing well. It's been everywhere, right? It's not just the Olympics, but there have been a lot of high profile cases in the Olympics.
Well, there was the German swim team that basically 10 out of I think it was 10 out of the 14 female swimmers in that one Olympics were disqualified. Let me see if I can actually find the number. Yeah, 1973, the East German women sweep 10 out of 14 gold medals at the first World Swimming Championships. Coaches involved have since admitted giving the athletes PEDs. So they didn't get stripped of anything, but, you know, I've seen pictures of these East German women that were on that team. They look like Ben Johnson. They're all just jacked, massive people.
Dude, yeah, man, it's really sad. Because you see these people achieve the pinnacle of their career, I guess you would call it, because they're amateurs, right? So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the recent years they've been, you know, depending on the sport, have been pros. I mean, obviously there's not a whole lot of pro swimming going on out there. But I'm sure Michael Phelps has made a fine living, you know, as have some others.
Sure.
But I'm reading in 2004 documents have said the East German from the East German police say between 500 and 2,000 East German athletes who were taking part in a doping program were suffering from heart disease, tumors, cancer, and other serious medical conditions, you know, after years of being on these steroid programs to improve, you know, performance. And it sucks.
Yep. Yeah, man. I mean, look at what was the chick's name?
Do you mean the woman, Lyle? Let's not be misogynist.
Let's say chick. Okay. I think it was Marion Jones, maybe. Another track and field athlete. I think she also played in the WNBA for some reason. Anyway, I could be totally wrong about all this stuff, but she was linked to Balco. Whoever this person I'm talking about is, was linked to Balco.
Marion Jones is the word you're looking for.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Holy crap, I was right. Okay, so, yeah, man. So she actually retained several gold medals, right, as a world champion, but was stripped of three golds and I think maybe a silver and a bronze. It might have been two bronzes. Might have been two silvers. I can't remember.
In yeah, it was 2000s, five total, though.
Was it five? Okay.
Five
so
total.
It was 2000 Summer Olympics, I think, which might have been Australia. Again, I should have researched all this stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
probably.
It was Australia, though. Whatever. I'm just talking. But still, that whole Balco thing, right? This is a person that won five, regardless, right, Kevin? She won five medals in a Summer Olympics. I think it was 2000, and I think it was Australia, right? She was stripped of all of them because of her steroid use, and she admitted it, you know?
Well, she actually went. I think she went to jail for a while because there was.
Did she go to prison?
There was a deception. Yeah, she pleaded guilty. Let me see here. Sentenced to 6 months. Let me see if she actually served it. God, I love the internet. You can find out anything you want.
You can.
Of course, the internet has to actually be somewhat speedy.
It's not usually, but.
Sentenced to 6 years in prison, and this is from years ago. I think it was from 2008. That's what another thing I love about the internet. Nothing ever goes away. So she was sentenced in a federal court to 6 months in prison, 2 years of probation, and community service for lying to federal prosecutors investigating the performance-enhancing drug use. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So.
Yeah, man. I mean, so I think the point that I'm trying to make is we're talking about elite-level athletes in pretty much every sport. We know baseball. We know MMA. We know boxing. We know football. We know, I don't know, insert sport here.
I don't know. Has there been a hockey steroid scandal?
I'm sure there has been.
Okay.
I'm sure. I don't know. But I do know that it's really prevalent. Now let's get into what it means to actually use a PED. So I think that's more important, right? So we could talk about people that didn't break the rules, like Sammy Sosa and, well...
Sammy didn't break the rules?
That may not have broken the rules. Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, for example. They were taking things that they weren't testing for. They might have been illegal. I don't know.
But yeah, I think at the time, HGH, human growth hormone, was not being tested for.
Right. And they were certainly taking it. But at the same time, so let me add. So this is where it gets weird for me, Kev, and this is where I really don't have an educated opinion on performance enhancing drugs because we take them every day. You and I do, right? We take stuff every day. First of all, food is a performance enhancing drug, right? We need nutrients. We take them. We feel better.
I kind of consider food to be a keep death at the door type of an arrangement as opposed to a performance enhancer.
But it helps you perform rather than die. Okay, I'm being really basic. Okay, so yeah, okay. Agreed. That's a really petty example. But let's go a little bit further and talk about caffeine. Right. We know there are physical benefits to taking caffeine.
Absolutely.
In the short term. Right. So it peps you up. There's a lot of articles out there that suggest that taking some caffeine pre-workout helps your workout better. So I have to infer from that taking it pre-game, pre-match, pre-whatever, you're going to perform better. Right. So is caffeine a performance-enhancing drug? Marijuana.
Well, right, I don't know if caffeine is or not, but I tell you what, if I'm feeling a little bit draggy in the afternoon, a little bottle of 5-Hour Energy peps my ass right up.
All right, so you dropping PEDs so you can perform at that meeting?
Well, so I can stay awake at that meeting. I can't talk about their performance at the meeting, but having fair my enough. Ass not snoring fair, is pretty much enough, my goal.
You get the point that I'm trying to make,
I
right?
do.
We could say alcohol might be a performance enhancing drug for picking up the ladies
or dancing
or dancing
I'm like, a much better point. Dancer with a couple beers in me, I can guarantee you.
Hell
that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that, buddy.
I'll show you, bro.
All right, let's do this. So there's that, right? And then it goes a little marijuana. Like, we know it reduces inflammation. It lowers anxiety. Like, so maybe that's a performance-enhancing drug during an MMA fight or a tennis match or, like, a one-on-one event.
Or plowing right? through that bag of chips.
Well, it's definitely performance-enhancing for that. Watching those Quentin Tarantino movies.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch cartoons after all afternoon. Let me get this performance enhancer.
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is there are a lot of them that are accepted. What is different about the ones that are not accepted that makes them quote-unquote illegal? Now, we can talk about HGH and testosterone and steroids, right? Those are the big ones. Those are the big three. And, of course, we can go into the whole Lance Armstrong scandal and the I can't remember the stuff he was taking off the top of my head, but it was blood doping, basically in getting a lot more oxygen into his blood.
Plus testosterone and other things.
Well, yeah, sure. But if you listen to him talk about what was going on, the U.S. cycling team at the time discovered that, and this is stuff that he said on, I think it was Rogan's podcast. The U.S. cycling team discovered that all of the other teams that were there at the Tour de France were doing this regimen, and they voted, and the vote came out, and Lance Armstrong did confirm that he did vote for it.
For a performance-enhancing drug regimen?
For using the same stuff that the other teams were using.
Okay.
Everyone was doing it. Everyone. Every single person that was doing it. I think, so when he finally got caught and they stripped him of his title. Right. Whatever. There was one example where they went back through the people and they discovered that the first person who wasn't using it finished 17th. Right. But they removed him from the record books. Right. He's gone. He doesn't exist now in the Tour de France. He did not win any of them.
Lance
but the
Armstrong,
guy who finished,
right.
Yeah, but the guy who finished second, who was totally doing it too, he's still there, and third and fourth, all the way down to 17. Right. So it's a little bit messed up. If everybody else is doing it, he became the, and what's really unfortunate about that whole thing is that you remember Livestrong, right? You remember
sure.
the bracelets. He had a really good thing going for cancer. And it was a legitimate charity that was raising a lot of money for people. And when that scandal broke, man, it ruined that whole charity. And like the bottom fell out of it.
Sure.
Didn't have any money. They had to let him go. It was his charity. They had to let him go. Guy lost a ball. Right? He's ballless.
Well, no, he's half man. He's 0.5.
Well,
he's, you know.
All right. He's ball half, like whatever. But the point is, like, you know, I mean, it's not like the guy didn't give to the charity. He gave a lot of money and he gave a ball. That's kind of a lot. You know what I'm saying?
And nobody even asked him for the nut. He just gave it willingly.
It just, well, not willingly, but it happened, and that's why they, but I mean, the point is, like, the investigation, the fallout, I feel personally, and I'm not big into cycling, so maybe I'm wrong, but I think it was way worse than what actually happened. The guy took available methods, right, to achieve a goal. And
right.
this is the point that I'm getting to, and this is where I really struggle with PEDs. Technology is going to continue to advance. Is it illegal for us to take advantage of what technology does, what medicine does, what nutrition does? I don't think so, man.
Well, that's kind of where Jose Canseco was when he wrote his book Juiced. I think it was called Juiced, where he was talking
something
about,
like,
you know, basically if you don't abuse them, if you just use them, you know, there's wonderful things they can do for you. You know, now I think Jose was a bit of a kook when it comes to that, because there's obviously negative health not benefits, but risks you take, because there, the six big ones that everybody talks about with steroids specifically. Increased cholesterol levels, liver damage, mood swings and aggressive behavior, irregular heartbeats and other heart problems, mood swings and hypertension, which is, you know, high blood pressure, right? So,
right.
Now, the thing is, and I think that's why that's the problem, is not everybody's going to want to use these things because of those risks. And that's why it's illegal.
I think you can use it. And here's where it gets really weird. Like, what about, we know that there is a diagnosable condition that happens to men when they get a little bit older, where they have lower testosterone, right?
Yes, I can, I'm a little bit older. I understand these things.
That exists, right? So some people, when they get older, their testosterone goes down normally. Other people, it goes down dramatically, right? And if you give those people a little bit more testosterone, they feel more youthful. They're invigorated. They have more energy. They can put on muscle, like all the whole thing. They can, you know, avoid the Viagra, like whatever it is, right?
Yeah,
yeah, it's true.
Oh, dude, I know. I'm in that. So not the Viagra part, but you know the rest of it.
100% of those people exist in sports. Are we supposed to deny them medical coverage? And not only that, here's where it gets really weird. Are we supposed to invade their medical privacy? Right, to know that they might have that condition. You know,
well,
there's been several.
When you're talking about testosterone, I think that, you know, if you maintain normal levels, I don't think you're going to have a problem there. It's when you have, you know, extremely elevated levels of it that you run into a problem.
No, you're wrong. What they test for is elevated from your baseline. So they test where you get jacked from where you were. So, yeah, that's a real problem. And here's where it gets super weird, right? They test for all kinds of other stuff, too. Now, USADA, which is the strictest drug testing agency in the world, headed by the dude, I can't remember his name, who headed up the Lance Armstrong investigation. He and USADA have a list that is miles long of things that can make you ding positive, right? And the UFC recently, within, I think it was 2 years maybe, hired them to do their drug testing. So there's a ton of stuff that will ping, right? And some of those things legitimately have been caused by stuff you buy at GNC, stuff you buy at a drugstore, like a drugstore boner pill, like the, you know, like massive rhino that you see at the counter.
A drugstore boner pill.
Or a gas station. Like they sell them. You know, it's like bath salts, man. They sell boner pills.
Well, you remember Jimmy Johnson was, I think he was Extends. I think that was Jimmy Johnson.
Okay. Yeah. Cialis has been known to trigger him. And not only that, but some estrogen-based pills have been known to trigger them because people take them to counteract the side effects of coming off of steroids, but not always, right? You could have those in other things. So, or they would counteract the effects of coming off of large amounts of testosterone. So all of those things in the UFC anyway can get you a year ban, a 2 year ban for the first offense, right? It's just immediate. Bye bye.
Right.
Yeah. John Jones is recently dealing with this and they looked at, it's kind of like, you remember when, Josh Gordon in the NFL, Cleveland Brown wide receiver, for those of you who don't know,
right.
He tested positive for marijuana. He had been caught before. And they split his urine sample, and one of them tested negative. Was it negative? Or it was below the threshold?
It was below the threshold, yeah.
Right, and the other one was just higher than the threshold. And if either one tests higher, you're out. It's kind of a similar thing in the UFC. And here's the other thing. They can demand blood at any time, anywhere. You have to notify them where you are. And if you deny them giving it to you, they give you a lifetime ban If you go, no, you're not taking my blood in this closet.
Right.
Yeah, lifetime ban. And that actually happened.
Some guy refused the test and was banned for life.
Yeah, let me figure out who it is. I think it was Chael Sonnen actually took it, but he was really weirded out about it. It might not have been him, but he was supposed to fight another dude. Let me look it up.
While you do that, I'm going to talk about baseball. And you know, it's funny because you know everybody remembers the baseball scandal with steroids back when it was Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire fighting for the home run lead, and then after that, Barry Bonds came out and just ballooned up. Man, he was like a cartoon with a little tiny head on top of like the Hulk body. And then he just, you know, shattered those records. But baseball, performance-enhancing drugs isn't always steroids, right? If you read one of the best books I've ever read, and I've read it a number of times, is Ball 4 by Jim Boughton. Came out in 1970. You ever read that book?
No, I don't think I read the book, no.
Oh, dude, you have to get... I mean, it's even though it's, you know, almost 50 years old now, this book is still awesome. It's, you know, talking about Mickey Mantle and, you know, guys he played with on the Astros and on the Yankees. He was a pitcher who, you know, basically, you know, tried to extend his career by throwing a knuckleball with varying degrees of success. So he talks in that book about just bowls full of amphetamines laying around the clubhouse where,
of course, yeah.
Where guys could just walk by, grab a handful of what they called greenies. And I haven't read this book in 30 years, but I remember him talking about just people popping greenies before the game. And it was amphetamines. So, you know, did they pep you up? They were called pep-ups, pep pills, right? So, you know, while they weren't steroids helping you build your muscles, they were performance enhancers because they juiced you up and got you ready for the game. Of course, the most famous baseball, I don't know if his performance was enhanced by this, or whether or not it's completely true, but Doc Ellis decided, you know, he was hanging out at his house at L.A., and I think this was, let's see what the date is on this, June 12th, 1970, right? So he was chilling at his house in L.A. and realized, you know, thinking that he had an off day, he was a Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher, thinking he had an off day, decided to drop some acid around noon.
Oh, this is a good one.
And then found out that not only were the Pirates in San Diego for a doubleheader that afternoon, but he was pitching the first part of it. So his boy got him on a plane. And actually, his girlfriend picked up a newspaper and saw that they were playing. So he got on a, I guess it was his girlfriend, got him on a plane to the airport, or got him to the airport and onto a plane.
Beautiful.
To San Diego, who got there at 4:30 in time to pitch his 6:05 game, right? So Doc said, and he also pitched a no-hitter, which included a couple hit batsmen and a ton of walks. But he said, and these are quotes, he said, "I can only remember bits and pieces of the game. I was psyched. I had a feeling of euphoria." Yeah, you think? He said, "I was zeroed in on the catcher's glove, but I didn't hit the glove too much. I remember hitting a couple of batters, and the bases were loaded two or three times. The ball was small sometimes. The ball was large sometimes. Sometimes I saw the catcher, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I tried to stare the hitter down and throw while I was looking at him. I chewed my gum until it turned to powder. They say I had 3 to 4 fielding chances. I remember diving out of the way of a ball I thought was a line drive. I jumped, but the ball wasn't hit hard and never reached me."
That would be hilarious game to watch.
I want to see the film of that where the ball comes toward him. And he just dives out of the way, and it's a bunt or something. Gotta see it. So I don't know if this is true or not. He's given varying accounts of this and whether or not he had taken LSD or any other drugs before the game. But he also said later in his life that he never pitched a game where he wasn't under the influence of some drug or another, probably the amphetamines I spoke about before.
Right.
So that's the baseball angle of this. Obviously, guys use steroids and other things to get big, HGH, et cetera, to you know, become mammoth human beings and be able to hit, you know, rocket home runs. But you know, it's been going on forever in MLB, dude, and no doubt in other sports as well.
Yeah, it's every sport. It's every sport. I don't think it's ever not existed. You mentioned the ancient Greeks, right?
Sure.
So people are in, and you mentioned in those cases. Right, there was money on the line. Right. So
and olive halos.
Yeah, right. So anytime there's a significant amount of cash out there, right, and maybe more importantly, but maybe not, glory, right, there's going to be people that try to find an edge. I mean, I would try to find an edge, right? I would work harder. I would, you know, find the best trainer. I'd find the newest training methods. Are those performance-enhancing drugs? I don't know. I'm modifying my body, right? I would eat the best diet. Is that performance? Like, this is the stuff I'm talking about. It gets really weird for me because as technology advances, these people wouldn't be doing their jobs if they're not trying the latest and greatest techniques and things they could put in their body.
Right.
Right. If we found out tomorrow that avocados gave you a huge advantage, everybody should totally eat avocados. So I get banning things that are dangerous. And I get the whole angle that we don't want like high school athletes trying this kind of thing. I understand. I'm not suggesting that everybody should do this. What I am suggesting, though, is it cheating? It's still your body, right? You're ingesting stuff, but is it really that different than taking vitamins or fish oil or like whatever it is? Why is it so different? Because it's effective? If everybody's able to take it in baseball, I don't think anyone has an advantage unless they're a better athlete.
If everybody's willing to take it, not everybody's willing to take the risks.
Not everybody's willing to look at John Kruk. Not everybody's willing to eat a good diet or stop smoking or not drink on game day.
Well, that's true. But the thing is, and you know, I know your little anarchist streak is going to come out here, but the rules of the sport that you're playing and the body that governs that sport says that those things are against the rules. So if you
want to, they didn't with McGuire and Sosa. But they still got singled out.
And since, I mean, it was a weird time in baseball then, too, because, and I'm not saying this is right, but this is just the way I remember it. Baseball had been in a real slump since the World Series was canceled that year because of the
strike, yeah.
The labor issues, right? So baseball was kind of on a low swing. People were like, screw baseball. But this home run chase between Sosa and McGuire kind of captured the imagination. So, you know, they were on steroids and kind of everybody knew it, but it was kind of like a nudge and a nod.
There was a couple other things, too. I think the ball was different at that time. They had lowered the mound. So
there were some other things as well that kind of contributed to it. But, you know, and then I think that the policies and the rules got a little stricter and they increased the testing things to. Yeah, the wife walks in, looks at me like I'm supposed to know what that face she made at me means. Anyway,
it means get the F off the computer, pal.
It may mean that. I think she pointed to her watch like, why are you still doing the show this late in the evening? Anyway, so there was a point I was trying to make. But anyway, I think that some of it was kind of ignored. But after that, there were tons more attention paid to it because of the issues. And even Barry Bonds got away with it, dude. I mean, you know, he never tested positive as far as I know.
Nope.
Right.
And I don't know if people remember, but I grew up in the 80s. And I remember Barry Bonds' rookie season. I think it was 87. I might be mistaken. Maybe it was 86.
He was thin.
He was super skinny.
But
super
a hell of skinny. A ball player.
Yeah, he was really good. He probably batted like 270. You know, he was average, right? Batting, very good fielder, right? He played for the Pirates. Nobody gave a hell about the Pirates. Nobody cared, right? They were bad. So, like, yeah, he was a guy that, you know, people talked about a little bit, but it wasn't like he was a superstar at all. He didn't become a superstar until, like, the 90s. It really was then that all of a sudden he was jacked. He was playing for San Francisco, and he's just knocking the ball over the wall constantly.
You know? He didn't hit 300 until 1990, which was his, I think, sixth year in the league.
Okay. So 84 then was his first year, I think.
86.
I think 86. Okay. So then 90 would have been his fourth year in the league.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. That's math. But anyway, the guy I was talking about earlier, I was
actually
right.
His fifth year, because 86 counts as a year, and then 87, 80. So anyway, okay. It's 50.
So anyway, the guy I was talking about earlier in the UFC, this was messed up. I was right. It was Chael Sonnen, who had taken a test. So Chael Sonnen told this whole story. I think it was on somebody's podcast. It might have been Rogan's. I don't remember. Chael Sonnen's an MMA fighter. Wanderlei Silva was the guy he was supposed to fight. And the USADA testing guidelines had just come in to the UFC. And Chael Sonnen was the second person chosen for a test. And they showed up, I think it was at his gym. I could be wrong. They showed up at a place that he was at. They pulled him into like a janitor's closet. And he was like, I don't know who you are. Can I see some ID? And the person was like, no. I'm from USADA. You got to give me blood right now. And Chael Sonnen was like, this doesn't look sanitary. What's happening? But he reluctantly agreed to the test. They took his blood. Obviously, he passed. The same people a few days before had showed up at Wanderlei Silva's house, who Chael Sonnen was fighting. And Silva didn't know who they were. So he locked his doors and refused to open the door. He was like, I don't know you. This was the new rules in the UFC that you could not refuse a test. So he got accused of refusing a test, and they banned him for life. That's crazy to me. That's crazy.
Yeah, I would think that if somebody comes to your house, they should, number one, be cooperative to you if you're cooperative to them. That's just, you know, good human nature. But if somebody, you should have to identify yourself, show documentation that you are who you say you are.
They don't. And not only that, if you don't tell them where you're going, it's a lot like being like on parole. Cowboy Cerrone was talking about this. Donald Cowboy Cerrone. You don't know who he is, but he's a badass MMA fighter. He was saying that he went to a UFC event in Las Vegas. Right. So UFC is like, hey, you got to come here and do a presser with us. So he went, and USADA called him and said, we're coming to your place in Albuquerque right now to test you. And he was like, I'm in Vegas with the UFC. And they were like, you got to notify us. And he was like, dude, I'm in Vegas with the UFC. I'm doing a UFC thing.
Right.
What do you mean I got to notify you? I'm doing a UFC. So, but they're separate organizations. So there's a lot of weird rules about it.
Yeah, when you're in the NFL, when you're in the protocol after you've tested positive once, you have to tell them wherever you're going to be, and they can just show up in the middle of your wedding, dude. Yep. Not that they've done it, I don't think, but in the middle of your wedding, on your honeymoon, you have to tell them where you're going to be. And, dude, when they show up, even if you go to Europe, if it's time for you to be tested, there's people there that they've contracted to take your sample.
Now, the UFC has really cool rules that are in competition and out of competition, right? So if you test positive for cocaine outside of, I forget the actual numbers, but it's really close to the fight. Let's say it's a month away from the fight, just to be safe, right? You're fighting in June. You test positive May 1st. For cocaine, right? They're not even allowed to disclose it, right? Because you're out of competition.
Right.
As long as it's not like steroids or, you know, HGH or whatever, as long as it's a short-term substance, they don't care. But
they just want to make sure that close to the fight, you're not taking something that could enhance your performance then.
I think they test you like 48 hours before and then within 24 hours after. It's something like that. I could be wrong, too, but it's really close to that. But marijuana falls into that category. If you test positive before or after, and there's a really famous case of Nick Diaz, who fought Anderson Silva, who's widely regarded as being maybe the best striker ever. Apparently he was high as fuck, dude.
Yeah.
He was just super stoned. Like after the fight, he tested so positive for weed and they banned him for, I think it was 2 years or a year. It was a long time.
You mean like he fought Anderson Silva baked?
Super baked.
Why would you do that, dude?
Well, so first of all, this is a guy who's a marijuana veteran. Right, so he's okay with being super baked all the time. But I almost, like, I disagree with the punishment, but I do see the point that it might be a performance-enhancing drug at the time because it lowers pain, reduces anxiety.
Yeah.
Right, that ring anxiety, you walk in, you see the greatest striker ever across from you, right? Now you're feeling chill, you're just chilling out. And at one point in the fight, Silva wouldn't engage Nick Diaz, and Nick Diaz actually sat down and then laid down in the ring.
Huh?
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious, dude. Nick and Nate Diaz are hilarious. You should watch their antics on YouTube sometime. But this is where it gets weird for me. Right, it's like I've been saying all along. I get, like, it seems stupid to me. Like, you could take vitamins, you can eat good food, like all that stuff. But at the same time, there is a benefit, like, to having some weed in your system or some caffeine or some, you know, methamphetamine or like whatever it is. There is a benefit to having that in the ring, and those substances are banned. So there has to be a rule against that, unless. I guess it's safe enough for everybody to use it. Weed is stupid. We can all agree with that. But meth isn't, right? And if it was legal, 100% people would use it. 100%.
Well, you know, that's a tough thing. It's like, we talked about this last week, but in the state of Delaware, you know, there's a House bill out there now that, you know, may be legalizing marijuana for you know, recreational use in Delaware. So, if you heard last week's episode about weed, it was 2 weeks ago. If you haven't heard it, you can go back and listen to it. It's still out there. But the whole point is you know, AAA is against the law being passed, saying that more people are going to be driving stoned now. My opinion, and I actually put this in a comment somewhere, that, you know, people are driving stoned now. It's not like there's no access to this substance, right? And nobody's going to go, well, it's legal now, so I'm going to get baked and drive. So, you know, I think that, you know, by making it legal, no pro athlete's going to say, you know what, I'm going to go play football on this substance. I'm going to be baked playing football or whatever. You know, now, after it's legal, than they would have before. I mean, it's still out there. It's still widely available. So I don't really think that it's going to increase use in potentially risky situations.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't know that other people will. And this is where the argument gets, again, I said this at the beginning, it's super gray. It's not black and white. It's not Barry Bonds is a cheater. It's not, you know, it's, well, what are we willing to accept?
He well, never Barry tested Bonds positive, dude. It's, I like, know. It's like, yeah, but, OJ but, was but, innocent of those crimes because he was, okay. You know, a jury all of right, his peers said he was innocent, but we all know, you know
stop.
What I mean?
But stop. His forehead grew like 7 inches, so stop. We knew he took PEDs, right? So he didn't test positive. Fine. Good for you. You know,
he must have had the Wizinator.
Crisis. Yeah, something. But, well, and the testing wasn't good back then either. And I don't know that the MLB wanted it, to be honest.
Well, yeah, that was point with the Maguire-Sosa thing. I mean,
they didn't want it.
People cared about baseball all of a sudden again, you know?
Again, we did. I watched it with my dad. That was in the 1990s, man, and late 90s. And, you know, nobody thought Roger Maris's record would be broken. Nobody thought it was possible.
Right.
That was, I think that was 57 home runs.
61. He did it in 61.
Oh, 61. That's right. That's right. 61. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. And they both beat it. Like, it was like, what? That's not real.
And then Bonds came along in 2001 and hit 73 of them.
Yeah, that's not fair. But there is a dark side. And some people I've seen are going back and forth with this. I don't know if you remember the Chris Benoit thing. Do you remember that?
Give me some context.
2007, he was a WWF wrestler then. It's WWE now.
Right.
And in 2007, he killed his wife and his son.
You know, I do kind of remember that.
And then hung himself. They claimed a roid rage back then.
Okay, yeah.
But now they're saying it was concussion-related damage to his brain, right? Which we've seen a lot of come out in recent years. Last 3-4 years, a lot of data has come out about concussions and how they affect you, like depression and suicidal thoughts, right? So here's a guy who definitely had his head beat around forever. He had been wrestling for, I think since the mid-1980s, dude. So 30 years, a long time to be getting your head beaten around on a mat. And
even though, you know, it's quote unquote scripted, I mean, those guys are still doing those moves and falling all over the damn mat. So
let me be super clear, right? Professional wrestling is total BS. It is. It's all scripted. But these guys are hyper athletes.
Oh yeah.
Not even close. Like they're elite level physical athletes, and they suffer real trauma in the ring every day. You know, the look at The Rock, dude. Look at his Instagram page. Right? That guy gets up at like 5 o'clock in the morning every day and gets jacked. Like he's nonstop.
And when was the last time he was in the ring? It's been a long time, right?
Long time. Long time. Good for him. And he translated into another career and he got out of it and all that stuff. But at the same time, he's still like a hyper, like even now, I don't know how old he is. He's in his mid to late 40s, I would guess. He's still a ridiculous athlete. You know what I mean?
Well, even, you know, you look at it, you know, obviously Schwarzenegger never did any wrestling, but he was one of the most jacked dudes on the planet, if not the most jacked dude for a period of years.
Did a lot of steroids. Even, what is
he, like almost 70 now? He's still jacked for an old dude. He's jacked.
Yeah, but he did a lot of steroids too. So it was normal though back then. He said everybody was doing it. It wasn't steroids back then. It was, this will get you more jacked. So we did it. Yeah, so I mean that's my thing. What is going on today, right? That will become illegal 10 years from now, right? Because it's totally there. Is creatine a thing? Is creatine bad? Like, is
cortisone bad?
Right. Are vitamins bad? Are stem cell shots bad? I don't know. This is what bothers me. Really, I think the technology should be allowed to progress and everybody has it available to them. And if they choose to do it, they choose to do it. I don't think there's anything that qualifies as a PED that should be illegal. I really don't.
Well,
I don't.
I don't know. I think that's where the gray area comes in for me. I don't necessarily disagree that you know, in moderation and for certain specific instances, like if you're trying to come back from an injury and, you know, moderate use under a doctor's care of HGH can help you come back from that injury quicker and healthier, okay, I'm down for that.
Yeah, but you could never control and regulate that.
That's the thing. It's you know, you have to do it under a doctor's care. But
all of a sudden, everybody would have an injury, and they'd all be under a doctor's care. And so that, I mean, seriously.
Are you trying to tell me the players would take advantage of that rule?
Dude, come on. There's so much money involved, man. You get a big contract, man. Of course they would. I would. Right? If I could run half a second faster and, you know, jump half a foot higher, you know, yeah, I would totally say that. And I guarantee you there's a doctor out there to go, yeah, yep, he's under my care, and 100%, dude. Yeah.
Well, more than likely the team doctor, because, you know, I'm sure those guys look the other way on a lot of things.
Even if it had to be a panel of three independent doctors, it would still happen. Right? There's too much money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't doubt it at all, not even a little bit. Well, you know, the whole thing with Peyton Manning, a former quarterback for the Colts and Broncos, but, you know, a shipment of some sort of HGH or some sort of growth deal, went to his house, but apparently it was for his wife. So he got to dodge that bullet, you know.
Yeah, of course it was. Listen, man, I've thought about it too myself. I know people in my personal life who take steroids. I know people who take testosterone. I know people that do HGH, and I have considered it because I just hit 40, right? I'm not getting any younger, and I'm like, And they're like, dude, you take this stuff? Guess what? Aches and pains are gone. The fat melts away. You feel like you're 20. And I'm like, wow, that sounds amazing. But I'm too paranoid, so I don't take that stuff.
Well, you know, I think as long as you, you know, if you want to investigate, you know, Nugenics or it's GNC's testosterone. I saw a commercial the other day for it, actually. It was like, hey, I could be invigorated. It was, I think, remember Frank, God, what was that guy? Played for the Chicago White Sox. He was the Big Hurt. Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas, yeah.
Frank Thomas is on there. He's like, You know, this is, it'll make you feel better. It'll make you have more energy. You know, you'll be more willing to work out. And fellas, your wife will like it too. Ding with the wink, you know. I was like, come on, Frank, don't do that again, man. Anyway, so, you know, I think, you know, for an older than average guy such as yourself, investigating that may not be a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. It's just that it's been so demonized that I'm hesitant to even really look at it. But I think the real issue is it's been so demonized that there's not a lot of really good data about it.
Yeah.
Right? It's and by the way, you could totally go to GNC right now today and buy steroids.
Yeah. Right?
They change the formula all the time on these supplements. 100%. There are steroids in a GNC near you right now.
And that's where all these guys get into trouble. You see, yes. with the NFL, you know, they don't disclose what the person, you know, they just say performs. He tested positive for performance enhancing drugs. Sometimes they, you know, it's a masking agent that's in a supplement that they're taking that's allegedly vitamins. You know,
that's what's great about the UFC is that they do disclose that, and then you see that the guy took Cialis, or in the case of John Jones. His latest issue, he took gas station boner pills. You know, he likes to party. He took some gas station boner pills, and you saw it. They were actually going to ban him for a lot longer, but he actually had some samples of what he bought, gave them to him. They went to the store, bought other samples, tested them all, and it might have been half or 30% contained the substance that he was banned for, right? But other ones, he could have gotten a different packet and been totally fine.
Yeah, see, yeah,
really got unlucky.
Did they rescind the ban?
No. He was banned for a year. He was banned for a year. And he's probably the greatest fighter on the planet.
Yeah. That's, you know, I think that, you know, like a zero tolerance policy for that kind of thing is somewhat ridiculous. I mean, you know, if like what happened with a right tackle for the Philadelphia Football Eagles last year, Lane Johnson. He took it. What's that?
I said Lane Johnson.
He took a supplement that in the NFL, there's the players union is the NFL Players Association. They have an app that'll tell you. If a substance, you know, is good or bad for you, if it's, you know, on the banned list, you know, or it contains a substance that's on the banned list, it'll tell you not to take it. But, you know, these drug companies, you know, they mix one pill and then they don't necessarily clean the equipment properly. And then they make another thing and, you know, some residue can get into the next batch. So who knows if that happened? I mean, you know, it wasn't disclosed. But Johnson said, hey, you know, I learned my lesson from the last time I was actually guilty of this, and I'm not doing this. I just took this thing. The NFLPA app said it was fine to use, and now all of a sudden I'm banned for, what was it, 6 games? Something like that?
Yeah. No, it was longer than that. It was longer than that.
8 games.
It was 8.
I think it was half the season.
Yeah. No, it was 8. I think it was 8. So, I could be wrong. Whatever.
It would be great if there was some sort of, you know, actual... not leeway necessarily, but investigate the claim that the person makes and then make a decision from that. I guess maybe that's the appeals process, but I don't really have a whole lot of faith in the NFL's willingness to back off of a suspension like that.
Yeah, I mean...
Or any sport, really.
Yeah, I don't know what the full example is, or full I don't know, whatever you call it, right? Policy is
right,
but USADA does publish, and they do update a list of substances that you can buy at GNC or find over the counter, or you know, or Superband or whatever. They publish a full list of things that are banned, and they put it the onus on the athlete to check out that list, and you know, don't ingest anything that's on this list,
right?
So they're putting it on you, and they're saying, listen, man, if you have a question about it, come to this website, look at it. If it says it's banned, it's banned. But I don't think that's realistic when you're talking about elite-level athletes, because they're always taking stuff. And not only that, they have people telling them, they literally have nutritionists who are cooking their food, who are, you know, there's another guy who's giving them, you know, their supplements, right? They have to be really trustworthy of these individuals. And 100%, I know that if I was one of those people and I was relying on other individuals to give me stuff, I wouldn't know what the hell they were giving me. I would trust them, and hopefully they're not wrong.
Yeah, that's a tough trust, man.
That doesn't mean that I don't go to the Rite Aid and drink a, you know, 12-hour energy, not a 5-hour, right?
You want the full 12.
Dude, I'm doing half a day.
Looking for the dozen.
And maybe that qualifies. And there have been some reports that, you know, caffeine, actually large amounts of caffeine, can qualify you for, you know, a PED. So I don't know where it stops, man. I think it's a silly pursuit, honestly. Because I think if you open up the doors, you just go, okay, do what you want to yourself. Everybody's on the same playing field, because they're not now, right? Those that get away with it, and you know there are those.
Right? Well, sure.
Those that get away with it, they have an advantage to those that are playing by the rules. I think if you open it up and go, okay, everybody do what you want, like, you know, use the latest technology, the latest drugs. You know, we have doctors look at you. Like, independent doctors look at you before you fight or you play or, like, whatever, to make sure you're healthy. And then, you know, I don't know that you can control it, just like the weed. I don't know that you can prohibit the use of this stuff, because it doesn't seem to be working. Like, it's been going on forever, apparently, since the ancient Greeks. So I don't know that. I get that it's not optimal, but at the same time, how do you stop it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the thought process is that, you know, if you do your best and you know, try to be diligent about you know, enforcing those rules, that if you keep half of the people who otherwise would use them not using them, then you're succeeding. It seems to me like really like a lost cause. I mean, even back in 2002, after all the Maguire and all that, Ken Caminiti, you remember what he said?
Oh,
A full 50% of MLB players use steroids. And this was after all the BS with Sosa and Maguire and Bonds.
Yeah, man.
Or during with Bonds.
It's probably similar now, if not higher. I bet it is.
Well, like the man said, you know why people use steroids?
Because it works.
Because they work. That's exactly right. And it kind of sucks. And I can see why somebody who doesn't want to risk their health would be angry or bitter about guys who do take those things to enhance their performance. But I don't know, man. It's a tough call for me, really.
Well, so, and that's the whole thing. What is greatness, right? Does it take away from Barry Bonds? I was always on the side of, no, shut up. Guy hit 71 home runs. I don't care what he did.
73, that's crazy. Actually. But
70, you know. 73, okay. That's crazy. That's crazy. Like, shut up. I don't care what he did. Right? It doesn't matter. Like, give me every steroid in the world and let me hit 20. No, I wouldn't do it. Right? So he's clearly superhuman. Right? Okay. Yeah, he had the benefit of, you know, better training. That's the other illusion, is that you inject steroids and all of a sudden you're stronger, like Bane or something.
Right.
No, you have to put in work, dude. All steroids does is let you recover super fast.
Right.
And it gives your muscles a little bit of a boost to grow. But it's not huge, but it's so much better than just like not doing it.
Right.
Right? Cuz you might be able to work out every day instead of every other day. So you get this mass, but they're putting in work, man. They're not.
Right. I mean, you still have to lift the weights to damage your muscles to have them recover to build.
Yeah, man. These guys are putting in work, man. Don't get it twisted. I mean, they're not, it's really not a cheat code. It's just a stepping stone.
Right.
You know, but I'm not advocating it. I don't think people should do it. I really don't. I think it's probably bad for everyone in the world. But look where Barry Bonds was before and look where he was after and tell me it's not beneficial.
Well, yeah, you know, for him, I think it's a little bit different because he was a Hall of Fame baseball player before he started that.
Probably, yeah.
I think he wanted to have the record.
Maybe not
the
first
home
ballot.
Run record, et cetera. But, you know, I think he was a Hall of Fame player before that.
Maybe.
I'm not sure McGuire was. I'm pretty sure Sosa wasn't.
McGuire was. Sosa wasn't.
Yeah.
Jose Canseco probably wasn't.
Well, no, he wasn't. He wasn't one with steroids either. So,
Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't think he would have even been, like, in the conversation of an elite athlete without.
Right. Right. Exactly. Now, you know.
And people forget that was McGuire, too. McGuire and Canseco, they were the Bash Brothers for the Oakland A's, man.
Right.
So McGuire was there, too. Let's not, you know.
So you look at guys like Alex Rodriguez, you know, and you look at like Roger Clemens. Yep. These guys, well, maybe definitely Clemens was a Hall of Famer before, you know, and you know, his whole thing was I took it to recover from an injury.
Yeah.
You know, and then I saw that I was getting results and continued to use it. So I don't know, man. It's a tough call. I can understand why they're banned. But wouldn't sports be fantastic if they weren't?
Well, so here's my argument, Kevin, and maybe we can close on this. They're kind of not anyway. You can ban them all you want, but they're still there.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
they're still there.
I think it's more difficult to get away with it once you've tested positive the first time.
Maybe.
I think, you know, once you're in the protocol, they can get you whenever, you know.
But do you really think that there's any major sport, or sport for that matter, that there's not somebody juicing?
Oh. I would.
Okay.
I'm not that naive.
All right. So what percentage are we throwing out there? 30, 20, 10?
I don't know.
What's the MLB now? If it was 50, maybe it's 25, or is it 75? I don't know.
Well, if you're talking about steroids or if you're talking about some sort of other performance enhancer, whether it's some sort of amphetamine or whether it's some sort of testosterone, you know, natural or synthetic, no matter what it is.
There's different PEDs, right? So amphetamines give you a boost for a day or for a few hours. Testosterone, on the other hand, is more like steroids, right? So that could have long-term physical consequences. So, yeah, I don't know. But I'm just saying it's still there. Like, it's not going anywhere, and it's not ever going to go anywhere.
Well, that's why, you know, barely a week goes by in the NFL where somebody's not suspended for games or, you know, a year or whatever for performance-enhancing drugs. The guy the Eagles just picked up, Alshon Jeffrey, served a 4-game suspension last year for PEDs. Now, it didn't disclose what, you know, but it certainly disclosed that he was suspended.
Yep. What I find really interesting, Kevin, is I think if you took all the money away from sports and we just played for fun, you know, for pride or whatever, there would still be people out there that were taking it.
Yeah, people got to win, man.
Yeah, it's a competitive sport, man.
People got to win. When you put
and
money in it.
All those sports are competitive. That makes it even worse.
And, you know, not just money, but, you know, fame and acclaim.
Man. The whole thing.
And
the show.
And, you know, all that. So
it's everything, dude. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'd have got wrapped up in that world, if I was good at baseball and ended up in the in MLB. Like, I graduated from high school in 94. Like, I would have graduated from high school in 98. Maybe the draft in 99 or 2000, like, whatever. I'm pretty sure I would have got wrapped up in it, dude. 100%.
Well, you know, and that's what everybody who's listening has to ask themselves. You know, yeah, it's easy to sit on your couch or in your car listening to this going, I would never get involved in that. But if you're there and, you know, you say, well, I can either be rich or I can be ethical. Right. Which way are you going to go?
I think, especially if you're a competitive athlete, too. You're training all the time and you're just not... You're not getting as far as the dude next to you. And the dude next to you goes, oh, dude, you know what I'm doing? I'm shooting this horse stuff in my ass. And that's why. And you go, okay, I'll try that. And
you know, my dream has always been to make the pinnacle of my sport, whether it's MLB, NHL, whatever it is.
Sure,
you know, and I'm almost there, and I can't quite get over the
what
top.
Are you gonna
but
do?
If I do what that dude's doing.
I don't blame anybody. And especially you put people in the category of Lance Armstrong where everybody else, literally everybody else is doing it, and your whole team votes for it. Like, I don't even understand where the controversy is. Of course you do it.
You know what I'm really impressed by, that whole thing? That the guy who wasn't doing that shit would finish 17th. Not bad on that dude, right?
Yeah, right.
By the way,
yeah,
I just kicked the music on.
He was pumping. Okay. Yeah, no, it's pretty impressive. Don't quote me on it, but I think it was somewhere around 17, something like that.
It's I remember crazy. Hearing something like that, too. So
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. Like, I don't know. Anyway, guys, another random in the books.
So if you want to respond to us on this topic, you know, talk about your own steroid use or something, it's you can do it at Twitter at YesRandom, and we'll look forward to seeing those and you know,
yeah, man.
Batting
I'd love to hear about it because I think there's a totally responsible way to do it, right?
That's certainly above our pay grade.
It happens under doctor care, so there's got to be a decent protocol, right?
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, my kid had croup. The doctor prescribed steroids.
Yeah, man.
It worked. Yeah. It works.
Yeah.
All right, we're out, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll talk about immigration. I don't know. That's a hot button.
We should. We argued about it for like 45 minutes before the show.
I don't know that we argued about it. I think at the end, you know, you and I have different viewpoints on it to a certain extent. I mean, I think we're aligned in theory, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll get to it.
All right.
All right, we'll talk in a couple weeks. Enjoy your time, ladies and gentlemen. And
love you guys. Minute.